Every person that comes into this world has a genetic disease called sin nature. We inherited it from Adam. This gives us our carnal nature. It's the reason we get sick and eventually die. In fact, Adam had wonderful, the human body is a wonderful thing. For instance, like if I scratch my skin, I can scratch it to the point where it can actually break the skin and it'll bleed. But you know what'll happen is that body, that skin, it'll heal itself. Because it's programmed in the genetics. Even though we have flawed genetics now, it's programmed in to heal itself. Now, like, I got a new car parked outside, and I put a scratch on that. That paint is not going to heal itself. It's a wonderful piece of technology. I love it. It looks nice. It's fun. It sure beats walking. I'd hate to have to walk to work every day. It's wonderful. But you know what? It's a machine, and it doesn't heal itself. The human body is a living machine, and it actually heals itself. But what happens is your body, when it gets older, the cells, every cell will copy itself. It's like going to a photocopy machine. And you make a copy, and then you make a copy of the copy, and a copy of the copy, and a copy of the copy. But see, the way Adam was originally built is each copy maintained its integrity. But because of our sin nature, when we make the copies no longer maintain their integrity. Also, the original that we start copying from has also got flaws in it because of our sin nature that we inherited from Adam. And that's why people get sick and die. But when we are born again in God's Spirit, we have a new nature. It doesn't get sick. That new nature is Spirit. It lives forever. The same spiritual power that created the heavens and the earth is in us. But if we don't renew our minds and put that on in our thinking, we'll just continue to live the same way we did in our old carnal nature. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says here that God wants all men to be saved, and it also says he wants us to come unto a knowledge of the truth. He wants us to, first of all, have eternal life. God wants us to have that spirit. Then he also wants us to know what the truth is. Like we were talking about in the last segment, he wants us to have that spiritual knowledge. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I got a little something here I'd like to read you, and it's written by a guy that's written a lot of stuff. A guy called Author Unknown. You ever seen any of his work around? Well, he gets around a lot. Anyway, Author Unknown means we don't know who wrote this, but it's a wonderful quote and something I picked out of one of my publications that I had from way back about 30 years ago. It's called The Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, read frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. And again, that's by Author Unknown. How do we look at the Bible? Do we look at it as just some book, another religious book, you got this one and that one, and it's just another religious book. It's got some good things in it and some bad things, and Well, or do you look at it like this person that wrote this? I like to look at it like the person, author unknown here, wrote about it. And, you know, when I first came to Michigan a few years ago, I wasn't a hockey fan. I didn't really like hockey. It bored me to tears, to be completely honest. But I was in an area where people were so excited about their team, they called it Hockey Town. But you know what? I just didn't get it. But you know, after a while, when they were making the playoffs, I got interested in the playoffs. And they actually won the Stanley Cup like 2 or 3 years in a row or something like that. And I got real excited about the whole thing. And I got into it. And I actually changed my thinking and I became a hockey fan. And you know what else? When I was young, I was agnostic. I didn't know if there was a God or if there was. I thought, well, maybe there is, but I don't know if we can prove it. I knew very little about Jesus Christ in the Bible. I remember going to church as a little kid, and they were talking about a Holy Ghost. And I was thinking, what's that, something in the closet with a skeleton or something? Come out and go, boo, scare you? I didn't understand. You know, I just didn't get it. Then I went to a Christian fellowship in my friend's home, and they taught the Word of God accurately and with authority. And I got really excited. And I began a journey, which is still continuing today, where I changed my thinking according to God's Word. Jesus Christ was born a little more than 2,000 years ago. He grew up just in an average working family, relative obscurity. He didn't have great wealth or social standing. He didn't get a higher education. He didn't have a PhD or anything like that. But yet, in his infancy, he startled a king. In his childhood, he puzzled doctors and scholars. In manhood, he walked on water, quieted storms, healed the sick, and raised the dead. He never wrote a book, yet more books have been written about him than anyone else. His teachings have been translated into over 1,000 different languages. Every time we date a document, we acknowledge his birth. Every week, we get one day off, Sunday, from work to worship God. He never founded a college, but he has more students than all the colleges of the world put together. In his death, he paid for our sins. In his resurrection, he gave us everlasting life. In his ascension, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love this topic. You know, this, what I'm covering here in Renewed Mind, I'm really just giving you an introduction to this. This really, to be handled properly, we need like 8 or 12 hours to really cover this subject in depth. So this is not an in-depth teaching. This is an introduction. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." So we used to know Christ. They used to know Christ after the flesh because some of these guys had actually spent time with him. But we no longer follow Christ after the flesh is what that verse is talking about. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit," verse 19, "that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, we're ambassadors. God thought so much of us that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, Jesus Christ had the ministry of reconciliation. But Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. And he's also given us the Word of God. This is also, remember, spiritual knowledge. He's given us that spiritual knowledge to carry it out.